blogger.com. You're listening to episode number 65. In this week's episode, I'll be taking a look at some of the latest news items in the photography world, a couple nuggets over the last few weeks you may be interested in. I'll also be sharing a maintenance schedule for photographers, specifically with photographers in mind, so you're going to want to tune in for that. And in the final full segment, you'll find out how you can win the Think Tank Photo Streetwalker. I did it in a review last week Friday, announced the contest, and follow up with more details about that contest, so you're going to want to check it out. First ever digital presidential portrait was ever taken. Prior to Barack Obama's presidency, there had never been a digital presidential portrait taken. All the portraits had been done on film, so it was the first ever digital portrait. It was pretty exciting, and of unique interest to the Canon Blogger podcast is the fact that it was taken with a Canon 5D Mark II, and this was done right before the election. So that was a kind of a cool little news tidbit that's related to Canon gear. The other interesting photography side of it is I was on John Knack's blog, who is the principal program manager for Adobe Photoshop, and found out that the pixel peepers had taken apart the image and realized it was edited in CS3, Photoshop CS3. So Adobe was rather quick to jump on that and offer a version of CS4 to the White House photographer, because they want the White House to be up to speed. I thought that was rather generous of them and kind of a cool little Photoshop photography, little news nugget to share with the listening audience. A couple of other news items. First off, there was some clever ad busting that had been done over in Germany. This also was from John Knack's blog, and it was also picked up by This Week in Photography. Apparently, a lot of people are going on in Germany, and they're taking these overprocessed, clearly photoshopped advertisements that are on subway walls, on subways all around the city, and they're putting up little posters of Photoshop tools. So you'll see the Photoshop toolbar, you'll see plugins, you'll see different things around there that basically are calling attention to the fact that these photos are clearly edited and this isn't real and that this is not how people normally look. And it was a rather amusing perspective on calling out, quote-unquote, with the air quotes, calling out overdone Photoshop and overdone photography techniques. Again, it was pretty obvious. This Week in Photography had really asked, what's the point? Because everyone knows that this stuff is over-processed and over-Photoshop. And that may be the case for those of us that are into photography and into Photoshop. But for the average Joe consumer, that may not be as evident as most of us think. And it's just kind of amusing calling out, if you will. So it was a fun little ad bust that was done. Stop over to This Week in Photography and John Knack's blog and look up that stuff. I might even throw a link to that in the show notes just because it was rather amusing. But the last component that I wanted to talk about this week kind of ties in. It's a nice segue to the first segment because there's been a couple software and firmware updates that have hit the airwaves. First off, Canon and Nikon both released some firmware updates. Specifically to Canon, actually, there was a 40D update that took care of a couple minor fixes and nuances and feature additions. So you're going to want to stop over to Canon's website and grab that firmware update for the Canon 40D. And then also from Adobe, there have been some release candidates for Lightroom 2.3 and Camera Raw 5.3. Fair warning, these are release candidates, so they're not final additions. They're not approved for general use. They're not out in the mainstream yet, hence the RC designation. But RCs usually are, for the most part, pretty stable, and most people won't experience any problems. So if you are interested in trying these out before they become available to the general public, feel free to download them from the Labs division over at Adobe. The web address there is labs.adobe.com, so you may want to check those out. And that's going to be a nice segue into our next segment, where I'm going to talk about photography maintenance. And the first part of that will be software and firmware, so we're going to want to take a look at that. talk about a maintenance schedule for photographers, there's actually a lot that goes into doing photography maintenance. The first of which is the software and firmware that I referenced a little bit in the last segment, where there was a Camera Raw update, and there was an update for Photoshop Lightroom. There was an update for Camera Raw, and there were firmware updates, like for the Canon 40D and for the Nikon and anything else. And that really kind of ties into the importance of putting yourself on a schedule, on a regular schedule, whether it's weekly or monthly or quarterly, to go out and actually look for these kinds of updates, because they're not always announced. So you want to go into whatever photo editor you use, whether it's Photoshop, Elements, Lightroom, Aperture, GIMP. There's a whole bunch of ones out there, Picasa, just whatever photo editor you're using. Stop over to the vendor website and see if there are software updates for that. The same obviously holds true for Camera Raw updates and camera body firmware updates. But another one that a lot of people often miss are firmware updates for other devices like MP3 players or iPods or iPhones. So when you plug those in, do venture over to the vendor website and see if there are firmware updates when you do your maintenance schedule for software and firmware. Next portion of the maintenance schedule segment is data scheduling and how to schedule data backups and saving. Now, when it comes to saving your data, there's also a number of things you want to take into consideration. Obviously, as a photographer, your images are going to be of primary importance. So what that means is actually going into your camera bag and getting all your flashcards, whether they're compact flashcards, SD flashcards, whatever media you use. Get everything out of your camera bank and out of your computer, and move any images that you have there onto your computer. That should be the very first step in doing any kind of data scheduling or data backup schedule. Get everything on your computer. So now that you've gotten everything on your computer, then you can actually go and do a full backup of all your images. If you don't get them off your flashcard, they're not going to be backed up. So you want to get them off your flashcard, get them on your computer. The next step would then be to back up all your images. I've got a Windows XP desktop, and I've got a MacBook Pro laptop, and I also want to do the same thing there. So if you've got a laptop-desktop combination, you want to make sure all of that is getting pushed to a centralized storage location for backup purposes, so that way you do know you're backing up everything. And then, of course, obviously, you do want to back up everything. I've got a Western Digital MyBook 500GB external drive that I back everything up to, and that is redundantly backed up to another MyBook 500GB drive. I'm looking forward to moving to a Drobo sometime in the near future as more strengthy and a better means of backing up my images. But right now, I'm just happy with having everything backed up and then also being redundantly copied as well. But there's a more robust solution out there than just Western Digital MyBooks. You can do the Drobo, which is what I'm going towards. You can also do RAID arrays, things of that nature, storage area networks. The important thing is getting a backup policy in place and then implementing that backup policy. And also when it comes to data, you don't want to just back up your images. You also want to do a backup of your operating system from time to time. Like I said, I've got Windows XP Pro and I've got the MacBook Pro, and I've got a lot of software installed on both of those operating systems. Photoshop is on there. I've got my audio recording software on there. I've got a lot of other utilities that I use on a regular basis, including Digital Photo Pro for the Canon stuff. Office is something that's on there. And you just want to make sure you do an operating system backup, because what that'll do is that'll take a snapshot of your operating system and all the software that's installed. You can ghost it. You can clone it. You can push it out to an image store, you can do a system restore on Windows, things of that nature, but grab a backup of your operating system from time to time. It can really help save you from any kind of disaster if anything like that were ever to arise. So that's the next part, the third part of a data backup schedule. Next up is also your browser. If you're not using the native browser for your operating system, for example, I use Firefox on both my Windows and Mac solutions, I periodically will back up my favorites inside of the browser. I'll do an export to an HTML file, and then I will have that backed up also to my data backup storage methods there. So that way, if I ever have my browser crash, I've got a file that I can reference to restore all my favorite items and photography feeds and community feeds in whatever browser I am migrating to. So So that's another important part of a data backup strategy, because oftentimes if it's not the operating system browser, you may not be able to save that unless you've specifically gone back and done that. So I just set that as a reminder in my calendar to make sure that I back up my browser favorites. And then last but not least, in the data backup store, I will also make a backup copy of all my serial numbers for all my photography gear. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I'll do this once or twice a year because I know I'm always adding new gear and selling old gear. And as I'm doing that, I want to make sure I update my serial numbers. So, for example, my Canon XT, I will now be rotating out of that gear list because I've sold that and no longer own it. And I'll probably be adding another lens to my body of gear here, or my collection of gear here shortly. So I want to get that serial number rotated in there. And what I'll do is I store that in either, I think it's an Excel file, but you can store it in a text file or a Word file or whatever format you prefer. So you can save it digitally. But then the other thing I would also recommend is printing out a hard copy. Because in a worst case scenario, say you get robbed, say your house burns down or whatever, and you've got a hard copy that you can reference, that can really save you a lot of aggravation and hassle if you ever have to deal with insurance or things of that nature. And of course, you want to keep the hard copy in a separate location from where you store things digitally for obvious reasons. So that is the data backup portion of a maintenance schedule. Next on my list for a maintenance schedule is a cleaning schedule. And this is going to be a little more detailed and more specific to photography. But basically, what I'm going to be looking at here is what to clean, how to clean it, and when to clean it. So when I say what to clean, how to clean it, and when to clean it, I'll start out with my camera bag. And what I'll do is I'll take all my photography gear out of there. And when I say all of it, I mean everything. I'll take out my bodies. I'll take out my camera lenses. I'll take out my filters. I'll take out my business cards. I'll take out my gray cards. I'll take out my media cards. I'll take out my microfiber cloths. I'll take out my silicone packets. I'll take out, just take everything out of your bag. And then what I'll do is I'll turn it upside down. I'll shake it out to make sure I get all the big stuff out. And I'll set it back down and I'll get a bottle of canned air. And I will spray that canned air through my bag, and that'll make sure that I get any small particles, small sand and dust and dirt stuff out. So I really do have a clean bag that I'm putting my stuff back into. Once I've done that, then what I'll do is I'll proceed to wipe down all my gear, and I use a microfiber cloth, and it'll just remove any grease or fingerprints or other abrasions or minor stuff and scuff marks from my gear before it gets too badly nicked up and scratched. And I'll make sure all that's wiped down. And then I'll get rid of that microfiber cloth. The next thing I'll do is with my lenses there, I'll actually move down my lenses. I'll stack them up in a row from left to right. And I will put a little daub or dot of lens cleaning solution on another microfiber cloth. And I'll gently wipe down the elements on the front of each lens to make sure that they are clean and free of dust and abrasions. And you want to do it lightly and gently. And make sure that you're using the proper lens cleaning solution. You want to use stuff that's not going to strip any coatings that your lenses have on them. Use one. You can either get one from your camera vendor, whoever makes your lenses, or you can also get that same solution from a photography store. So you can go to a local store. You can buy some from B&H or Adorama. I actually use the same lens cleaning solution that you can get in eyeglass stores. It's cheaper there. It's the same proportions of the fluid in there, so I just use that, and I'll clean my lenses that way. And then I'll also get rid of that microfiber cloth when I'm done. And the last two things that I will include in the cleaning portion of my maintenance is actually cleaning the sensor on my camera. Now, to be admittedly honest here, I have not cleaned the sensor yet in my 40D, primarily because it has an internal sensor cleaning mechanism, and I'm usually pretty good about swapping lenses out pretty quick. With my camera gear, I will make a conscious effort to shut off my camera, prep the lens that I'm going to put on there by taking the rear cap off, and then quickly making that adjustment from the lens that's on the camera to the camera that has the lens cap off, twisting that on, and then closing up the lens that I just went off the camera with. So I don't really give much of an opportunity for dust to get in there. What little dust and grime can get inside the sensor, inside that time frame, I'm relying on the sensor cleaning mechanism to take care of that, but I did do a sensor cleaning with my Canon XT, which did not have that feature in there. So if you have a camera that does not have a lens cleaning system, or excuse me, a sensor cleaning system, or if you are prone to taking a little longer to swap out lenses, or if you change your lenses in dustier, less than beneficial environments, you may want to put yourself on a sensor cleaning schedule. You can get Photoshop to do that for you. You can send it into a vendor of preference, whether it's Canon or Nikon or Olympus or what have you. But if you do find yourself prone to getting dust inside there, that is something you want to add to your maintenance cleaning schedule. And then last but not least, on the cleaning portion of the maintenance schedule are your actual print heads on your printers, believe it or not. You can get dust and grime, and ink, dried ink can accumulate on your print heads. And this will, of course, depend on how often you print. So I would recommend putting that schedule at somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks, so every other week or once a month, depending on how often you print. You may just want to run your print heads through a cleaning cycle. It costs you one piece of paper and a little bit of ink. I don't think it's too much in the grand scheme of things if you're doing your own printing. So that's just something to consider adding to the cleaning portion of your maintenance schedule. In addition to the software data and cleaning portion of your maintenance schedule, you also want to take a look at some other miscellaneous accessory type items. And here I'm talking about things like recharging and replacing your batteries. So if you've got rechargeables, occasionally you may want to just take all of them out and recharge them all at once if you've got a charger big enough. Or if you're using alkaline batteries, you want to make sure you replace those or swap those out so that you can get fresh stuff in your bag on your appropriate schedule that works for your system there. I mentioned using silicone packets inside my camera bag. I actually use those to remove any excess moisture if I'm in a humid environment. It's really good at keeping my lenses in a cool, dry place because those silicone packets will actually remove any excess. So as part of the miscellany portion, I will actually swap those out. And you can get silicone packets. You can buy them, but you also get them in packages. So if you purchase anything from B&H or Adorama or Amazon.com, you'll get little silicone packets inside your boxes on a regular basis. I just hang on to those, and then I'll throw a couple in my camera bag whenever I need to swap them out. But that's really a neat thing to have inside your camera bag. Takes up hardly any space, and it's worth it to me to keep the camera gear dry and free of moisture. Another miscellany thing I will look at cleaning and replacing will be microfiber cloths. You can clean those. I've heard of people that send them through the clothes washer. For me, I can find a six-pack for $2 or $3, either through B&H Photo or Adorama. I can even get them from the local Walmart eyeglasses section for $2 or $3. So for me, it's just easier to replace them rather than try to clean them. But that is something you want to at least consider incorporating into your maintenance schedule when it comes to the accessories and miscellaneous items. Last but not least in there is to add new business cards to your photo bag. I always find myself running low. So every month or so, I'll put on my reminder list to add more business cards. And the same includes updating your business cards. So if your phone number changes, or if a web address needs to have something else added, or if you've updated your picture, things like that, you're going to want to update your business cards as well. You always want to keep them looking fresh so that nothing gets too boring or repetitive for you. So that's the last of the miscellaneous accessory items on your maintenance schedule. Last but not least, I also want to point out the importance of actually updating your networking. And when I say updating your networking, I mean actually making a regular effort at getting in touch with contacts, whether it's former clients, current clients, prospective clients, fellow photographers, people in the community. Touch base with people. Send out emails. Make sure you update your website if you have a website. Make sure you update your photo galleries if you have photo galleries that are online. You want to make sure you keep your stuff current and you're staying current with all your contacts, with all your comrades, because if you don't stay current, people are going to forget about you. And the only way you're going to get business or you're going to stay in touch with what's going on is by staying in contact with people. So you want to make sure you do all that kind of stuff. And for me personally, that also means making sure that I'm stopping into various photo forums and other online communities. That's where I get a lot of my news and information from, and I'm sure many others do as well. So I'll make it a point to at least stop into photography forums and online communities at least once a week, if not twice a week, depending on the activity inside the forum. Some forums are more active than others, as well as online communities. I know if you don't stop in on Twitter at least once a day, you can get out of touch real quick. That's one I've kind of fallen off with. So you want to make it a point to keep on a schedule with networking as well, because that can really help you in the long run. If you stay fresh and you stay current and you're talking with other people and you're in people's minds, it can really keep you up to speed on everything that's going on. It can also maintain contacts and gig opportunities for you as well. So that is the maintenance schedule. Just a brief recap, I touched on software, firmware, data, cleaning, miscellany, and networking. And these are things I would recommend any photographer incorporate into their maintenance schedule. And you have a rough idea there from my workflow and maintenance schedule, what I update, when I update, and how I update that. So going from there, I'm going to make a clean break from that, and I'll be back in just a minute with the Think Tank photo contest information. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Review of a Think Tank Photo Streetwalker last week, and at the end of that review, I did a little contest, or actually a little giveaway, if you will, where I said the first 20 people to respond to a blog post after this podcast will be entered into a contest to win this bag. And it doesn't have to be the podcast posting. If you want, you can comment on another post on the blog. As long as it's something from the Canon Blogger Archives that you find valuable or interesting, and your comment has to be valuable or interesting too. It can't just say, hey, nice blog post, or ooh, I like this one. It has to be something meaningful, something that can actually contribute to discussions. I'm taking the first 20 people, so if you've posted more than once, thank you. But since each person should only get one entry, that seems the fairest way to do things for postings as well. So thank you for those that have posted multiple times, but I will only consider one entry from each person. You will win this $150 valued Streetwalker bag. I do have to say that this is for domestic U.S. residents only, so my apologies to those living in Alaska, Hawaii, or overseas. Sorry, but overseas shipping and long-distance shipping can be just too cost prohibitive, so Alaska, Hawaii, and overseas listeners are really probably not going to be eligible for this. Again, sorry, it's just more of a cost-prohibitive thing since I am giving away a bag that's valued at $150. I'd rather just ship it domestically. So coming back in just a minute, I'm going to take a look at a couple listener questions. Got some blog comments and some emails that are very valuable this time around, so you're going to want to stick around and listen to those, as well as the final photo tip for the week. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Podcast, and he had actually posted a question about locating a manual for the STE2. He had purchased the STE2, which is the light trigger for the Canon gear, and he had purchased this off of eBay, and it did not come with a manual. So he was looking for the video podcast off of there, couldn't find the video podcast because that had been archived. I've gone ahead and emailed that to him. And that is kind of a brief segue. So if anyone does ever find a video podcast that they can't reference from Canon Blogger, please feel free to email me or post a comment to the blogs. I do see all comments that come in, and I'll try and accommodate you. I have sent him a copy of the video for free. I wasn't sure how useful that would be, though, so I did a little research and found a website, actually, that does have manuals for a lot of gear that is not otherwise available from vendors. And the website is devicemanuals.com. They did have the manual for the STE2 since Canon does not have it readily available. So I told Josh about that as well. And I do would encourage others to also check out that website, as it has a lot of useful resources there. A lot of flash manuals, a lot of manuals for gear that otherwise you wouldn't think would have a manual. They actually have them there, so it's a pretty cool site, devicemanuals.com. And I want to also thank Josh again for writing into the blog. I appreciate the participation. The other listener question comes from Larray. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Larray Smedley. She posted a question. Actually, I think she emailed me a question. I'm asking about why noise levels increased in her newer SD890 IS Canon camera over her earlier model, which was an SD600. And in looking at the specifications of both her cameras, I noticed a couple key things that were probably contributing to it. Thank you also to Larray for sending in the question. I do appreciate it. But a big part of why you're experiencing an increase in noise is because it's the same size sensor in both of these cameras, the SD600 and the SD890, but your megapixel count changed from 6 to 10 megapixels. It almost doubled in size, so you're getting more megapixels crammed together within the same amount of space. As a result, just natively, you're going to have more noise. It's just an inherent side effect of having more megapixels inside a confined space. There are some steps you can take to minimize the effect of the increased megapixel count. One of them is to try not shooting in low light. When light is low, you have to keep your shutter open longer, and as more light will enter into your sensor, you're going to get more noise. So if you want to reduce noise, try not shooting in low light. If the light does get low, you can compensate for that by using your flash, whether on camera or off. Obviously, an off-camera flash is more preferable to controlling the quality of the light, but that's a way to prevent low-light photography. The other thing you can do is to change your ISO setting on your camera from auto to manual, if at all possible. And the reason for this is because if you are shooting in low light, your camera will automatically take your ISO from a low setting to a higher setting, which will thus increase the quantity of noise inside your photos. So try not to shoot on auto ISO. I know a lot of people like using the automatic features of some cameras because they are getting pretty smart. But when it comes to your ISO settings, I always want to keep my ISO settings as low as possible to minimize noise. So it's kind of a corollary there to shooting, avoiding shooting in low light if possible. And then if you have to shoot in low light, make sure you change your ISO from auto to manual. Third suggestion I gave her was to try and keep your shutter speed as fast as possible, because the longer you do leave your shutter open in low light scenarios, obviously, the more noise you're going to introduce into your images. Just because you're leaving the shutter open longer, the sensor is going to get hit with more light and with more noise, so that's just an inherent side effect of having long shutter speeds. Last but not least, if you're unable to keep your shutter speed fast and you have to shoot in low light to keep your ISO down, you're going to keep your shutter open longer, so you're going to get more noise inside your photos. How you can mitigate that then is actually in your post-processing. Depending on what image editor you use, whether it's Photoshop, Lightroom, GIMP, or any other method out there, there's aftermarket post-processing options available. The one I use is Noise Ninja. There's some other great aftermarket software plugins available for pretty much every application, and even the applications themselves are getting super good at this. Don't be afraid to use post-processing as a means of reducing noise in your images if you have to. Obviously, you want to try and minimize the amount of noise at the front end rather than at the back end, but if you have to, the back end option is available during post-processing, so that option is available as well. Thank you to both Josh and Larray for their questions. I do appreciate the participation, and I would hope that they both keep in touch with the blog and with the podcast. So in wrapping things up for this week, I'm going to give you a final photo tip, and it kind of ties into Larray's question, because he was talking about managing noise inside your photos, and if you have to shoot in low light and increase your shutter speed and address the noise during the post process, if you're going to have a long shutter speed, One thing you're going to want to do is prevent motion blur with your camera. And one great way to do that is, of course, with a tripod. But if you don't have a tripod, if you forgot to bring it, didn't bring it, don't have a tripod, another great way to minimize camera shake is actually to use objects in your surroundings. Whether it's a tree, whether it's a gate or a building or even the ground, if you can find something firm to brace your camera up against when shooting, you can actually shoot at slower shutter speeds and still maintain clarity and sharpness in your images so you won't get that camera blur that is always a danger at slow shutter speeds. So that's the photo tip. Look for firm things to put your camera up against. But the important thing in all this is to actually get out and shoot. So, by all means, close the podcast, turn off your computer, turn on your camera, go out there and do some great pictures. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you back here next week. Take care, everyone. Have a good weekend. Bye.